There it goes. All right, there we go. Good morning. Thank you so much for responding back, because I enjoy it when people are talking back to me. Usually when I'm speaking with the youth, I like to see the faces. Sometimes the faces look bored. Sometimes the faces look like they're getting something. I'd love to say it was all the time, but it's not always like that. So, well, I want to just refer back to last week. Pastor Kevin did a fantastic job in talking about our condemning heart. You know, it's a struggle that I have when I do something wrong and my heart starts to condemn me. But I always have to remember that God's Spirit speaks to me, and He reminds me that I'm forgiven, that I have God's grace and mercy. So it's so important that we listen to God's Spirit. But today we're gonna look a little differently at what the scripture's saying about God's Spirit, not against God's Spirit, but that there is this battle that we have, that people are always speaking to us, and we've got to figure out, is that God's Spirit speaking to us, or is this a spirit of error? And the reason that John brings this up, in fact, I believe that most of the book that, or most of the letter that John wrote, was really to address what was going on in his church, because there were people that were trying to tear his church apart by recruiting people from that church. You know, each and every day we hear voices and people talking to us, and sometimes they have our best in mind, but sometimes when we listen to them, we can get into a lot of trouble. We can make mistakes because they're not leading us in the right way. I remember when I was younger, I had a friend that I loved and respected, and I was dealing with something spiritual, and I got advice from this person, and because I loved and respected them, I listened to their advice, and I made a huge mistake. I started walking down the wrong way, and I got into a point that I was in kind of like slavery to sin, and it took a few years, and God's Spirit helped deliver me out of that pit, because I listened to what someone said and didn't really weigh whether that was from God or a spirit of error. And so John is dealing with a group, they're called Gnostics, and they're recruiting his people. And this is kind of, I tried to think of what kind of conversation would they be having with a church member to kind of get them to come along with them. And I think it would go something like this. And I have to set this up. The Gnostics believed that the body was evil and the spirit was good. So because the body was evil, you could do anything you wanted with the body, and it would not affect the spirit. So here was kind of the conversation. Hey, Jim, I heard some of these things that John's been saying to you guys. Like first of all, he's telling you that you should love everybody. And Jim's like, yeah, should love everybody. What about that person who cheated you in that land deal? Or what about that person who is talking about you behind your back? Well, that is kind of tough, yeah. Well, and then I think John is saying that you should love others and help people with your money and different things that you have. Well, yeah, that's true. Well, you know, Jim, I've got my eye on this new camel, and you know, I'm going to use my money how I want. I'm not going to let anybody tell me what to do. You know what we believe? We believe that you should rock and roll all night and party every day, and then you should just use your resources for whatever you want and do whatever you want. And then I thought, and then Jim goes, that sounds kind of appealing. I think I may want to come and follow you. The only problem was, is John realized that what was going to happen to Jim if he went that way is it would destroy his life. He would be in a slavery to sin. And, you know, when you read the book of Romans and you read chapter 6, it says that we're no longer slaves to sin, and that we have the power through God's Spirit to always do the right thing, and that's the freedom that we have. But the minute we give in to sin and start walking that way, it takes away our freedom. And John was concerned about their freedom, and he was concerned about his church, and it was being torn apart. And so what John had to do is he had to confront when people are speaking different things to us that are not from God's Spirit. And so what John did is he wrote these first six verses in 1 John chapter 4 to kind of tell us, how can we tell the difference when something's from God and something is not from God? So I want to read these verses to you. And if you would, turn to chapter 4, verses 1 through 6, and it will tell us what he had to say. It says, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you heard was coming and now is in the world already. Little children, you are from God and have overcome them. For he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. They are from the world, therefore they speak from the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God. Whoever knows God listens to us. Whoever is not from God does not listen to us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error." So the first question you've got to ask is, he says, test the spirits. Who are the spirits? Well, basically what he's talking about is he's talking about everybody who's speaking into our lives. For his church, he was referring to the Gnostics, those people who were trying to bring his people to follow him or to follow them. And so he speaks about them. But for us, we have many more voices. I was just thinking about ways that we hear different philosophies. We hear it from social media. We have Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, Snapchat. We have YouTube. We have movies that we watch. We have music that comes over the radio or on Spotify. We also have many friends, family, lost people who speak to us each and every day, and every single one of them has some type of agenda, and their agenda is for you to listen to them. Because on social media, if you're listening to them, and there are a lot of people listening to them, they make money. And a lot of times it is a thing about money. Follow me and listen to what I have to say. So we have lots of spirits, lots of different people who are speaking into our lives. So John came up with a two-part test in these verses to help us see what is the Spirit of God and who is speaking to us from him and those who are speaking in error. So let's look at the first test. In verses 2 through 3, we read about the first test, and here is what he says. And it's simply put, what are these people saying about Jesus? What are they saying about Jesus? Because that's who we follow. That is our Lord. We need to know, what are they saying about him? Now, if you're a believer, there are three main things that you should believe about Jesus and be considered a follower of Christ. Number one is that he is the Word of God. What we have in our Bible is we have all the teachings of Jesus. We have his biography through the Gospels. We have the stories of the early church and what they believed and what they did. And then we have letters from many of the people who had contact with Jesus. I like to put it this way. What we should do is we should put on our biblical worldview glasses. And at everything that we hear that comes from people, we should test it according to what Jesus taught. Okay? In fact, I have weird things that are said to me all the time. One of the weirdest things that I've ever had said to me was that someone who was a believer and they were married to another believer came to me and said that God, the Spirit of God, had revealed to them that they were supposed to divorce their spouse. I went, what? I said, really? I said, okay. Well, what does Scripture say about this? And so it was very easy to find out that if you went and you listened to what Jesus taught us about marriage, he dealt with it, and it came from Genesis. And then later on, Paul taught the same thing, that it was one man, one woman coming together as one, and no one should tear them apart. Very simply put. So just by going through Scripture, I knew that what they were telling me was not from the Spirit of God. Okay? And there are many other things that you may hear that people will tell you. You have to test it that way. Number two, and this was something that John was really, he was interested in this and was talking to his church about it, because he says that Jesus in the flesh is that Jesus was fully God. That means that he had every attribute of God. He was God. But he was also fully human. And that's a very important issue also, because that means that he was a man and he experienced life the same way we have. And because of that, Hebrews tells us he can empathize with us because he's gone through the same things we have. He's had the same temptations. He's had the same pains and struggles that we have. And so he understands us. And the reason that this was so important to John is because this group of Gnostics were basically saying, and they said that Jesus was a man, and he was only a man, and that when he was baptized by John the Baptist, that the Spirit of God came upon him, and then when he died on the cross and he made the statement, my God, why have you forsaken me? The Spirit of God left him. And the reason that belief is so wrong and can be very hurtful to people is it takes the power away from the gospel. Because if God did not give his life for us, then he did not have the power to take on our punishment and forgive our sins. And so that is what this group of people, the Gnostics, were teaching. And then finally, the third thing that we know about Jesus, and I love this, is that he's the only way to heaven. When he died and was buried and he rose again on the third day, he took on our punishment. He gave us the power to be right with God and to be forgiven by God. And through that was the only way to heaven. John 14:6 says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And so the Gnostics were not teaching that. And you think about it, in our world today, we see a philosophy that people say, there are many ways to heaven. You can do this or that, or you can follow this person or do this thing, and it will bring you to heaven. And so we have to be careful who we listen to and the philosophies that come at us. But the second test that we run into, the first was, of course, what does it say about Jesus, or what do they say about Jesus? But the second test is, we have a very powerful culture out there that is always pulling us away from what we believe. And so the question you need to ask is, when someone tells us something, does it line up more with what the culture's teaching, or does it line up more with our biblical worldview? Do we look at it from those glasses? Just to kind of show you what was going on in John's world, the Greek society had a belief, and I mentioned this earlier, that the body was evil, but the spirit was good. And so there were two ways to look at that thought or that philosophy. You know, in our culture, we are really not far from that belief at all, except what we've done is we've flipped it, and we've said that everything with the body and the material world is all that matters, and the spiritual world really doesn't matter a whole lot. In fact, people will say, hey, it's okay for you to believe what you believe as long as you don't force it on me. And it's okay to believe it because it's probably not true. But if it makes you feel good about yourself, then it's okay for you to believe that. But just don't force it on me. And out of those two different beliefs, there are two philosophies that come out of it. First of all, the first philosophy is the thought pattern, since the body is evil and the spirit is good, what the Greeks taught, then whatever you do with your body during the rest of the week is fine. You know, the Gnostics were like, live however you want to, and then we'll come together once or twice a week. We'll do some mystical, religious ceremony, and mystically the Spirit will work in your life. I'm going to be honest with you. I don't know if you ever thought about this, but in some ways, Christians can believe the same way. The Christian can come to church on a Sunday, think, hey, I've had my time with God. I've had an experience with Him. It's been great. But now I'm going into the real world and I have to live that way. And so it's kind of like the Sunday's like that booster shot we get. And then during the week we can live however we want. That's following that same philosophy. But on the other side, the other way that we look at that philosophy is there are those who believe the body is evil. So we've got to beat it into control. We have to keep it under control so it doesn't affect the spirit, because they believe it does affect the spirit. So they come up with all kinds of things to take all the fun and joy out of life, and you got to abstain from all these different things, it's just a tough life to live. We see that a little bit today in some churches. We call it legalism. And legalism is when people take the teachings of Jesus and instead of just going by what he said, they come up with their own little things that they have to do. Like for example, you can't go see a movie, or women have to wear dresses, or the one I hate the most, you can't wear shorts. And I'm like, I wear shorts all the time, so I couldn't follow that belief. There's some that even believe that you shouldn't have musical instruments in a worship service. So there's a little bit of legalism that goes on that isn't from the Spirit of God either. Okay? So he's given us the test. What does it say about Jesus? What does that spirit say about Jesus? And how much does it fit into the culture versus what Jesus is teaching us? It's a very simple test. And it was amazing that John gave this to us. So how do we apply this to life? And so I think there are four things that you can get an application to these two tests. Number one, always look at everything that you hear or that comes from people's mouths. Look at it with a biblical worldview. Always test the things that are said. Ask for wisdom or discernment. Discernment is wisdom you get from God's Spirit. And I think it's a supernatural thing. As you listen to His Spirit, He will give you discernment in knowing if something's from Him or from error. And always look at things from a biblical worldview. Make sure that you're listening to His Spirit. Number two, don't let the culture define who you are. Our culture tells us that we have to do so many different things. We have to keep up with the Joneses. We have to spend our money doing things that will make us happy, that will make our families happy. We have to have the right cars. We have to have the right stuff. We have to listen to this political view or this political view. It just is coming at us left and right. And really, our identity is not in what the culture tells us. Our identity is in Christ. You know, in Ephesians 1, it tells us that through Christ, we have every spiritual blessing. It says we're sealed by His Holy Spirit, that we have an inheritance in heaven. He tells us that with our identity in Christ, we live in a different kingdom than what's around us. And we should make a difference in what we do and how we live. One of the things that really stands out to me and someone said was they talked about money, and they were saying a lot of people love money and use people to get it. And they said the way God's Spirit would talk to us is that we should love people and use our resources or money to help others. You know, I'm not against, you know, the Bible's not against people having money. In fact, God gives us money and resources to take care of our family, but also to take care of other people. And sometimes we can get very selfish with those things. And when we do that, it's kind of like we're listening to what the culture says and what God's Spirit is telling us. The third thing that's very important that we should get from this, when you blow it, and believe me, you will, because I blow it all the time, we can go back to the sermon that Pastor Kevin gave last week. And instead of sitting there and going, why did I do this? Why did I, you know, make this mistake, or even continue in your sin because you think God will never forgive me, so I'm just going to continue going this way. Remember that God is walking with you and that His Spirit is living inside of you. And all you have to do is turn to Him and say, I want to follow you. I want to stop going this direction. And He will remind you, you're already forgiven. You have my grace and mercy. You have my power. You can make it through this, and He will rescue you. And then number four, and I think one of the most important things, is to always love each other well. There are going to be people like my friend who are going to tell you wrong things, and there are going to be people who are going to argue with you, and there are going to be people who are going to shame you because maybe you're not doing what they think you should do. And it's going to be so easy to get angry with them and to just want to avoid them. But Jesus doesn't teach that. His Spirit tells us to love everyone well. Now, there are going to be people in your life that maybe you can't trust. And I understand that. But that doesn't mean that you can't love them. And it doesn't mean that you have to retaliate against them by the things you say or do. And everything you do, it should be filtered through the Spirit of God and full of love. Because when you look at 1 John and you look at everything that he said, he basically talks about two things: love God and love people. Live your life that way. That's the kingdom of God. That is Him, His Spirit working in us. And He makes a difference through us, using us in His kingdom. Let's pray. Father, I pray today that we will listen to Your Spirit over what other people are telling us and the things that they're asking us to do that are not within Your will. I pray today that we will always wear our biblical view glasses, that we will always evaluate what people are saying to us, so that we can walk with You and make good decisions. I pray today as we end worshiping You, I pray that we will remember that You are the one who died on the cross for us, who was buried, and You showed Your power by the resurrection. And if there's anyone listening, anyone here today, that doesn't have that relationship with You, has not trusted You for that, had their sins forgiven, I pray today they'll make that decision. It's in Your name we pray, Father. Amen.